You probably don't recognize the name Frank Morris. The Louisiana native owned a shoe repair store in Faraday, and he was burned alive in the store by two white men, he reported, in 1964. He was killed for a number of reasons. People say he was hated by the KKK because he was financially independent. Others say he was hated because he served both black and white customers, specifically white females. Frank Morris's case has gone unsolved for more than 45 years, but now a very determined newspaper editor says he has a break in the case. We want to welcome Stanley Nelson, the editor of the Concordia Sentinel. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're also a founding member of the Civil Rights Cold Case Project, right?
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about this case? Explain the details of what happened to Frank Morris in 1964.
I'd be happy to. I'd also like to mention that also working hard on these cases is the Syracuse College of Law Cold Case Justice Initiative at the university. Ask me your question again, Celeste.
Well, I'm hoping you can give us the basic details of the Frank Morris and his murder.
Yes, Frank Morris owned a shoe shop in Faraday, and one night he was staying in the back room of a shop. He heard glass breaking. He got up to investigate. When he got to the front door, he saw two white men. One had a shotgun and one had a gasoline can. And as he approached the front door, they told him to get back in the shop. Apparently, they had already thrown gasoline onto the building, the outside and part of the inside. One of the men threw a match, and the building erupted in flames, and Frank Morris was forced to make his way to the back of the building. And when he emerged, he was on fire from head to toe. His clothes burned off his body. He ran out onto a vacant parking lot. Two Faraday police officers picked him up, rushed him to the hospital. And everywhere he walked, he left bloody footprints. And he was completely naked and burned over 100% of his body.
The FBI investigated this case back in the 1960s, but they came to no conclusion, and they reopened it again in 2007. Have you been in touch with the FBI? Do you have any idea the reasons that they reopened the case?
Well, yes. Back in 2007, the Justice Department announced an initiative in that they were going to look back at all the unsolved civil rights era cold cases, and Frank Morris's name was on that list, and that's why his case was also reopened.
But you don't have any idea whether his was on that list because they had evidence that hadn't been explored.
Well, I think what it was is all of the cases that were very compelling back then, in which they identified suspects, that it was one of the most terrific murders, so they felt as if it was a case they might could still solve.
Now, Stanley Nelson, you're a white man. Is that okay for me to point out?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just wondering, you spent 4 years as a founding member of the Civil Rights Cold Case Project. You've spent years investigating this case of the murder of Frank Morris, who's not related to you, right?
Oh, no.
What drives you to dedicate your life over these past few years to these cases like this one?
Well, I think it's important, and for many reasons. But for one reason, Frank Morris was a man that every community needs. He was a hardworking man. He ran a good business. He provided a good service. He employed young black men. He knew everyone. Everybody liked him and respected him. He took pride in what he did. He was a patriotic man who used to buy, people recalled in World War II, he would buy savings bonds to support the troops, and he would always say, "We got to buy some hats for the boys." And so he was a man that, communities need, hardworking, provide a good service, supports his community. And also the fact that back then the community of Faraday and Concordia Parish, which was an area that was really lawless at the time, and for about 3 years the Klan was pretty well in control of the parish and the region. The FBI came in. Thank God they did, because they did investigate the murder, and they left behind through their records this great guidebook of what they did and who they interviewed. And I guess what was most one of the driving forces for me is that 46 years ago, the town of Faraday and the community did absolutely nothing for Frank Morris. And you have to put it personally, too. If someone had killed my grandfather, my father, my brother, or whoever, I would hope that if I couldn't do anything about it, that if anyone could do something about it, that they would.
And you think that you have. You have identified in your paper, at least, a possible suspect.
According to this man's family members, we have. So all I can tell you is you just have to work, you have to call, you have to be tireless and relentless, because the thing that maybe I think people lose sight of is this is not a case that's a year old or 2 years. It's 46 years old as of December of 2010. And if you can imagine a great big red sun setting on the horizon, you know, when that big ball gets right on the horizon, you can watch it go down in just a matter of seconds. And that's where these cases are.
Wow.
Suspects are dying. Victims are dying. In the Frank Morris case, a suspect died 4 or 5 months after the case was reopened. In another case we're looking at, the leading suspect died in June of 2009. And there's no time to waste. And the thing about it is, even if we can't solve the cases in terms of a living suspect, for the families of these victims, just to have some type of resolution, just to have an idea of what happened, is very important to them. And I think they deserve it. I think this country is big enough to provide that to them. But I'm afraid we're going to let them down if we don't hurry.
Well, Stanley Nelson, you know, the closure for the family is one piece. But from your expertise, what is the toll on communities like Faraday of keeping these kinds of secrets for 46 years or more?
I think they fester, and when we mentioned the word secrets, the secrets was the Klan and the people that did this. By and large, the white and black community, I was somewhat astounded when I was told by interviewing person after person after person who was of the age, black or white, to remember Frank Morris and to remember those times. Everybody thought that it was a combination of law enforcement and the Klan, but nobody could really tell you who. And that was the mystery. These types of projects, like the arson of Frank Morris's shoe shop, were well planned, carefully choreographed projects by the Klan. And they actually had hit squads that were assigned these jobs to go and beat someone up or to do this. In Frank Morris's case, there is evidence that originally he was to be beaten allegedly for flirting with white women, which is just this. You know, in those days, if a black man was just seen talking on the street with a white woman, that was enough to cause anger with the Klan.
Well, if Frank Morris finally gets justice, or his family does at least, it may be partly due to the efforts of Stanley Nelson, the editor of the Concordia Sentinel in Louisiana and founding member of the Civil Rights Cold Case Project.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.